You're listening to Adventures in Jewish History with Rabbi Danny Sackstein.
Good afternoon and welcome to Soul to Soul. It was great to be with you on a Wednesday afternoon. It's 14 minutes past one. And we're going to be looking at some important foundations of what it means to be the Jewish people. So we are, our program is Adventures in Jewish History. And to understand the Jewish people and the essence of the Jewish people, we need to look at the roots, the historical roots, and the beginnings. The beginnings took place with our illustrious matriarchs and patriarchs, Abraham and Sarah, Yitzchak and Rivka, Yaakov, Rachel, and Leah. And by looking into their lives, we can understand what the beginnings of the Jewish people were, and therefore what the essence and definition of the Jewish people is today. So there's a few very important incidents that happen in the life of Yaakov Avinu, which really set a framework, a paradigm for us to understand life and to begin to understand the identity of the Jewish people. The first one I want to look at is a watershed moment in Yaakov's life when he is leaving the comfort of his parents' home. He's leaving the comfort of the environment where he learned Torah, the Yeshiva Shem Ve'eva. He embarks on a journey to find a wife at the instruction of his parents. And he is about to leave Eretz Yisrael and go to the household of Lavan, the home of his mother, of Rivka. And before he does so, just before he leaves Eretz Yisrael, he lies down and Yaakov has that famous dream. And the Torah tells us, V'yachalom, he dreams, V'hine sulam mutzav arza, and there was a ladder which extended down to the ground, V'roshu magia shemaima, and the head of the ladder reached right up until the heavens. V'hine malache elokim oilim v'yordim bo. And the second thing that the Torah tells us, you've got the ladder that goes from the ground to the heavens, and there are angels of God that are oilim v'yordim bo, that are going up and down that ladder. V'hine Hashem nitzav alav. And Hashem is standing at the top of the ladder. So there are three very bold items, very bold characteristics of this dream of Yaakov. The ladder that goes from the earth to the heavens, the angels that are going up and down the ladder, and Hashem standing at the top of the ladder. So what is going on? Why is that significant? Why is it so significant that the Torah tells us about us? And it actually gives us a certain understanding of who Yaakov is and of what his life journey is. And we are all B'nai Yaakov. We are the children of Yaakov. So if it applied to him and was relevant in such a big way to Yaakov's life, obviously it's got great relevance and significance to our lives too. The Midrash tells us that the Sulam, this ladder that Yaakov dreamed of, a Sulam is Gematria Sinai, that this ladder represented, symbolized Sinai, Har Sinai, the mountain on which the Jewish people received the Torah, the law, the instructions from God. And we know up to now, in the life of Yaakov, Yaakov's lived quite a protective existence. Yaakov's grown up in the home of his parents. He, in the first 15 years of his life, Yaakov was extremely close to his grandfather, to Avraham Avinu. And Avraham invested a tremendous amount into Yaakov. He could see that the future of the Jewish people would be in this young man, in his grandson. And therefore he taught him all he knew. And he had a great influence on Yaakov's life. Avraham died when Yaakov was 15. And then Yaakov remained at home. He gets the blessings from his father Yitzchak, from Isaac. And then he's told to leave home because Esav is very aggrieved. Esav wants to kill him, and therefore he has to flee from his own home. He's from his own parents' home. He spends 14 years in the Yeshiva of Shem Ve'eva, in the environment of, and we know, as we told, in the early years of Yaakov's life, Yaakov Ishtam Yoshev Ohalim, he was a pure person. He remained in the tents of learning his whole life. So first 15 years with Yaakov, then with Avraham, then after Avraham dies with his father Yitzchak, and then 14 years in the Yeshiva of Shem Ve'eva. And then Yaakov has to move on, and he has to now go and find a wife. And this is now the beginning of Yaakov entering into society, leaving the Beis Midrash, leaving the security and the protection and the safety of the holy environment of learning, and entering into the real world, entering into a world which everything, not everybody around him is going to be inspired and working on themselves and growing spiritually and trying to get close to God and overcome their lower side. He's going to encounter people that have got no spiritual substance at all, and people that have got no moral fiber, and people that are out to get him, and people that are of a very low, a very low spiritual level. So Yaakov's now got to enter into the marketplace of the real world. He's got to find a wife. He's got to earn a living. He's got to bring up his children. He's now leaving the protection of the Beis Midrash. And it's on the eve of that new experience in his life, of that new phase in his life, that Yaakov has this dream. And therefore the dream is to prepare Yaakov for this new journey and the new endeavor. Please stay with us. We'll be back in a moment.
You're listening to Adventures in Jewish History with Rabbi Danny Sackstein.
So Yaakov's about to go out and find a wife, and he has to now live in the real world and support his family and build a home and encounter what we all do in the real world out there, dealing with people and dealing with situations and circumstances that are not as spiritually elevating as his time in the Beis Midrash, in the study halls, around those that are very spiritually sophisticated and working on themselves on the highest levels. So Yaakov is about to leave, and Hashem gives him this dream. And this dream is in order to prepare Yaakov for the new phase of his life. What does he see? He sees the ladder that goes down to the ground, and the ladder that goes all the way up to the heavens. And that shows him that God wants us to be, we live in a physical world, in a material world. We have to interact with that physical world. We're standing with our 2 feet on the ground, and the ladder extends right down to the ground. And even though that's the case, we still have the capacity and ability to oilim v'yordim, to go up that ladder, to climb the ladder, to rung by rung get closer to God who's standing at the top of the ladder. So Hashem showing Yaakov that even though you're going out, you're leaving the Beis Midrash, you're leaving the sanctity of the study hall, but out there in the material physical world where the ladder touches the ground, where you're dealing with those issues on the ground, but nonetheless, you still have a connection. You still have an ability to climb that ladder and to, with your feet on the ground, still connect to God at the top of the ladder. And that's something that is very powerful for Yaakov, because Hashem's telling him that as long as it's within the Misgeret, Misgeret means within the framework of the ladder, as long as you're still connected to that ladder, and even though you're going to be going up and you'll have good days and you'll have spiritual inspiration and elevation, but there are going to be times when you come down the ladder and where you're going to experience disappointment and where you're going to fall and stumble spiritually, as we all do, but as long as it's within the framework of the ladder. And the ladder, what is that ladder? As we said earlier, the ladder, the sulam, is Sinai. That's the Torah. The Torah, as long as, even though we're engaged and very much involved in the physical world, as long as we still have that framework of the Torah in our lives, and it's through the Torah that we're still holding onto that ladder, and we're still climbing up rung by rung, and we're trying to connect to God through the Torah, and through the great power of Torah, that we still are connected to Hashem. It's when we let go of the ladder, it's when we leave the framework of the Torah, that Hashem's not standing above us anymore. We don't have the same level of connection and of inspiration. Now, that's a very powerful message that Yaakov is receiving, a powerful message for all time, for all of Bnei Yaakov, for all of us, for all of the Jewish people, is that Hashem very much wants us to be involved in the physical world. That's the world that we are all born in. That's the world that we live in. And we have to make a living and support our families and deal with very basic things in this world. But however, we still all have the capacity to hold on to the ladder, to hold on to the Torah, and to climb that ladder, and to continue to develop and grow, to develop self-control, to overcome our lower self, to fulfill the mitzvahs. And as we do that, we climb another rung on the ladder. And although it's not going to only be one-way traffic going up, there's sometimes we're going to stumble and fall, and we'll drop a few levels and a few rungs on the ladder. And as long as we're still in that framework of Torah, Hashem standing above us, and we're able to ultimately ascend and keep growing. And that's why Yaakov says when he wakes up, an amazing thing. Yaakov says, he says, Hashem is in this place. V'anochi lo yadati, I didn't know. Yaakov said, I was leaving the comfort and the protection of the spiritual environment, and I'm going out to engage in the material world, into the house of Lavan. And Lavan was a very well-known swindler. He was a very dishonest person. He was a lowlife. He was a mafiosa. And even in that environment, Hashem's telling him, I'm there with you. I'm still there. But as long as you hold on to the ladder, as long as you're still climbing that ladder, I'll be with you. So Yaakov, for Yaakov, there was a chiddush. There was something that was a revelation for him. He said, Lo yadati. I didn't realize that I could still grow spiritually even when I'm descending down to the darkness of a place like the house of Lavan. And that's why at the end of the dream, which the Nesiv Shalom says, by the way, everything I'm telling you now is the pshat, is the explanation of the Nesiv Shalom, one of the great Hasidic rabbis of the 20th century, the Slonim Rebbe. So he explains, he says that the ikar of the dream, the main part of the dream, was the blessing that he received at the end of the dream, after the dream. And what is that blessing that he received after the dream? Hashem says to him, V'hine anoichi imacha u'shmartiche b'chol asher telech, that I'm with you and I'm going to protect you wherever you go. Whatever you do, I'll be with you. So the message is very powerful and very clear, that as long as Yaakov, even though he's on the ground and the ladder reaches the ground, as long as he's holding on to that ladder, holding on to the Torah, and continue doing his work, so Hashem is on the top of the ladder, and Hashem says, I will protect you, and I will be with you wherever you go. So that is the, this is really the formula for successful living for a Jew, is that although we are very much engaged in the material physical world, but nonetheless we need to remember that the way we get the blessing of Hashem, and all of us need the blessing of Hashem, we all know that. There's so much that can go wrong, and so in every area of our life, in every department of our existence, we need siyata d'shma, we need Hashem's assistance. If we don't have Hashem's assistance, it's very difficult for anything to succeed. That assistance comes through our effort of holding on and doing our part, living under the mizgeret, the framework of this ladder. And if we do so, so then Hashem will watch over us, and Hashem will protect us, and Hashem will assist us. And so that's our work. Our work is to still remain connected to the spiritual worlds, even though we're very much involved down here in the physical worlds. And the way we do that is that we daven 3 times a day, and we say blessings, and we learn Torah. And those are all the sulam, that's Sinai, that's the ladder that we're holding on to, and we're not letting go. And even though we're going to go up the ladder and we're going to fall down the ladder, as long as the ladder is very much in our minds, is at the forefront of our consciousness, so then we will continue to connect to Hashem, and Hashem will bless us and will be with us. It's when we abandon the ladder, it's when we let go of the ladder, it's when we move away from the ladder, that we find ourselves lonely, and we find ourselves in a place that we feel we're uncomfortable and we're confused and we're lost and we're in the darkness. So holding on to that ladder is critical, Hashem's telling Yaakov. And even though you're going down into the dark places, through that connection, you can still climb that ladder, and I will be with you and I will protect you. So then we see that Yaakov spends a significant amount of time in the house of Lavan, and he wants to marry Rachel. And unfortunately, Lavan tricks him, and he makes him marry Leah. And then he works for another 7 years for Rachel, and then he works for another 6 years for Lavan. So he's in the house of Lavan for 20 long years, which is not a simple thing at all for Yaakov. But nonetheless, he prevails, and he then decides it's time with his wives and his children to return back home, to return to the home of his parents and to the home of his ancestors, the land that was promised to our forefather Avram Avinu by God, that it would be the land of his descendants. And so Yaakov embarks on his journey back to Eretz Yisrael. However, he knows, and he is very aware, that his brother is still aggrieved, and his brother still is not happy with him, and he's concerned that his brother is going to harm him. And so he sends Malachim, he sends messengers, actually angels, some say, for Yishlach Yaakov. He sends them out in order to prepare Esav that he is now returning. And he sends many gifts. He wants to try and appease Esav. He doesn't want to fight him. He doesn't want to have war with Esav. He wants peace. He wants shalom. And so he tries to, we learn from the way Yaakov dealt with Esav, the way we deal with our adversaries and those that oppose us, is that we try it's a three-pronged approach. We try the diplomatic approach, which was the Doron, which was the gifts that Yaakov sends Esav. He sent him significant gifts. He sent him over 500 animals, and the animals in those days were a sign of a person's wealth, which was a lot of money. He sends this to Esav in order to appease Esav and in order to hopefully win Esav's favor. He also prepares for war, and we see he divides his camp in two. If the diplomatic attempts are not successful, so he'll be prepared for all eventualities. He won't be naive and be taken by surprise. And thirdly, of course, he davens to Hashem. He davens that Hashem should protect him. So that should be the approach of the Jewish people when dealing with those around us, is that we try to make peace and we try the diplomatic route, which is always first prize, and we prepare for war if all else fails. And of course, we look to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to Hashem, for our success, for Siyata Deshmaya, for protection and for assistance in all that we do. And so Yaakov sends these messengers, and he divides the camp into two. And then he goes to, after he's divided the camp and taken his family across the river, he goes back to try and get what's called Pachim Katanim, some of his items that he left behind. And the Torah tells us, "V'yivater Yaakov levador," that Yaakov was alone. "V'yavek ish imo," and there was a man who was struggling, who was battling with him, "ad alos hashachar," until the morning broke. So he has this struggle and this clash with this man that we know is actually a malach, an angel. It's a spiritual force that attacks Yaakov, and that Yaakov has to grapple with and struggle with and battle with until the morning. And it says, after the struggle, the Torah says, "V'yomer lo Yaakov yemra od shemecha," and he says, this malach, the spiritual entity, says to Yaakov that your name Yaakov will no longer be used. Your name is no longer Yaakov. Ki im Yisrael. Your name is now going to be changed to Yisrael. That's where we get Israel, Bnei Yisrael, the Jewish people, the children of Israel. Ki sarisa im Elokim. So he says the reason why your name is going to be changed from Yaakov to Israel is because kisarisa. Sarisa is a word that you fought. You fought with the spiritual force and you overcame. You succeeded. So very interesting. We see that our name Israel comes from sarisa. Sarisa is shin resh. So if you can imagine in your mind's eye, the word Yisrael is yud shin resh aleph lamed. The shin and resh of Yisrael come from this word sarisa, says the Torah. The struggling. The being engaged in this battle and struggle. That really is our essence. And we know in the Torah, so we have a principle in Torah, an axiom, that the name of something represents the essence of that thing. So the name, our name, is Yisrael. So that obviously is our essence. Let's try and understand what exactly that means. So Yaakov is named after the struggle and the battle. He's not named after the victory. If he was named after the victory, we would be called Bnei Tuchal, the people that overcame, the people that succeeded, the people that won the battle. But no, we Bnei Yisrael. So really the main point over here, the Ikar, as we say in Hebrew, is the struggle. The main point is the battle. That's our identity. That's who we are. This battle against the dark forces is what the essence of the Jewish people is. And the results, you know, like everything in life, we have to put in our effort. We have to put in the correct effort. The outcome and results are in Hashem's hands. The Hashem decides what the outcome is going to be. We have to put in the proper effort. So likewise, the struggle and battle against this force, that really is the essence of who we are. The result Hashem will decide. And we see that really that captures the life of Yaakov, that Yaakov's life is a life of struggle and of battle. From the beginning, from conception, he's already struggling in his mother's womb together with Esav. They have a big struggle in the womb, and they decide they agree on a compromise that Esav will be dominant in this world and will control this world, and Yaakov will be dominant in the next world and will enjoy the pleasures of the next world. That was the agreement already in the womb. They come out the womb, and Yaakov is learning all day, and Esav's a Ish-Sadeh. He's out hunting all day. At the age of 15, Yaakov buys the Bechira from Esav. He sells him that lentil soup when Avram Avinu died. So they fighting at 15. They have that clash about the Bechira. They then have the struggle over the brochas, who their father's going to bless, which one's going to get the all-important blessings. When Yaakov gets those blessings, so Esav is very angry with him, and Yaakov's told he has to leave if he wants to stay alive, if he wants to save his life. He leaves, and now he's returning, he's coming back. And when he returns again, he's got this clash. Esav's coming, and the Arba Meos Ish Imo, the 400 men with him, he's assembled an army to wipe out Yaakov. So it's a constant battle and struggle. And he's now confronting this force. It's this malach, the spiritual force that Yaakov's fighting, is the Sarashel Esav, is the spiritual entity, the guardian angel of Esav that Yaakov is now fighting. So that spiritual battle captures who Yaakov is and captures who the Bnei Yisrael, who the descendants of Yaakov are. Now that's that force that Yaakov's struggling against, that's the Yetzer Hara. And so this battle against the Yetzer Hara is not a periphery issue. It's not something that's, you know, on the side. It's actually the essence of who we are. The Jewish people were created in order to fight those dark forces, to fight the Yetzer Hara. And it's an inner struggle. It's the Yetzer Hara within all of us, within ourselves. It's our lower self, the part of us that wants pleasure, and the part of us that wants power, and the part of us that wants domination, and the part of us that is full of ego. That's the Yetzer Hara. And we need to try and defeat that within ourselves and rise above our lower selves and reach out and strive for those things that are larger than us and our ego, and to connect to God and to truth and to spirituality and to love and to light. That's the battle. That's the inner battle that Yaakov fights, and that represents the inner struggle of all of us with our Yetzer Hara, and that is who we are. We are Yisrael. Now, most of us don't even know about this battle. We don't even know that there's a struggle going on between the light, the forces of light, the forces of darkness within all of us. But, you know, if that's the case, unfortunately, then we're really in trouble. If we're not even aware of that inner struggle, then we're not engaged spiritually at all. But even if we are aware of this inner spiritual battle, we don't really want to face it. We want to run away from this battle. We're tired of the battle. We want to avoid it. We want to escape it. But the point is that this battle is our essence. That's who we are. Yisrael is because we fight against the darker forces. When we fight against those darker forces, we bring light and truth and holiness and peace into the world. And that's the job of every Jew. So what is this battle? Let's try and understand what this battle is. How do we identify this battle within us, and how do we succeed and overcome the opposition in this battle? So we'll do that in a moment. We're going to learn together a beautiful Kli Yakar, a magnificent teaching of the Kli Yakar, which sheds light on this issue of the inner struggle of all of us in our lives. Please stay with us. We'll be back in a moment.
You're listening to Adventures in Jewish History with Rabbi Danny Sackstein.
The essence of the Jewish people is our name, and our name is Yisrael. And we learn, the Torah teaches us, the name Yisrael comes from the fact that Yaakov fought with this negative, dark spiritual force, the guardian angel of Esav, which is the Yetzer Hara. And therefore, the essence of the Jewish people is the battle and the fight, the struggle against the Yetzer Hara. So what is this battle? The great Kli Yakar, who was a great and holy person, a great rabbi who lived in Prague, he died in 1619, Rabbi Shlomo Ephraim Lunshitz. He has a beautiful commentary on the Torah called the Kli Yakar. And he says the following. He describes what this battle is. He says, Hiskimu rov ha-meforshim, most of the meforshim agree, she malach zeh, who is this force that Yaakov is fighting, this guardian angel of Esav. So he says that's called Hu Samael, Saro shel Esav. That is Samael. That's what we call him, the guardian angel of Esau. Hanikra Samael. Why does he have this name, Samael? Al shem ki kol cheftso, because all of his desire, v'yisho Lesame Einei Ha'adam, that his ultimate goal and desire is to blind the eyes of a person, Ula Hachoisoi Bi'ivaron, and in order to smite him with a blindness, Vla Soiso Suma Me'en Hasichli, in order to make him blind from the eye of the Seichel. So we all have an eye of Seichel, of perception, of understanding. And the Yetzirah wants us to blind us from the clarity and understanding. Ada shelo yuchal haroe lirois b'maros ha'emes. Until the person is not able to see the truth in this world, lavo v'liros b'nei Hashem, we don't see Hashem, who is the epitome of truth in the world, v'lavo b'sod Hashem li'yirav b'sidrei Torah. And as a result of not seeing Hashem, and not seeing truth, and not having clarity, so we don't see the secrets of the Torah that Hashem shares with those that fear him. Ki hu Satan, because this force, this Samael who blinds us, is the Satan, who Malach HaMaves, he's the angel of death, who Yetzirah, and it's the Yetzirah. So the Kli Yakar explains to us very clearly that the goal, the job, the focus of the Satan is to try and blind us, to remove clarity from us, to try and confuse us and seduce us. And that's why the Pasuk says a little bit later, after Yaakov defeats him, what does it say? V'yizrach lo ha-shemesh. How did Yaakov defeat this dark spiritual force? It's when the rays of the sun shone. The sun's rays shone, the sun rose, and Yaakov then had clarity. It was with that clarity that Yaakov defeats the confusion and the doubt of these dark spiritual forces. So let's try and understand it. So the Kli Yakar is saying that the Yetzirah tries to blind us and tries to take away our clarity. What does that mean? So Rav Yeruchim, the great Mashgiach of the Meir Yeshiva, he says a little bit later in this week's Parsha, heard this from Rabbi Elephant, and he says that Rav Yeruchim says with regards to Dina, we see Dina was the daughter of Yaakov and Leah, and Dina gets abducted by Shechem, and and she is taken to Shechem, and her brothers find out, and they go and rescue her from that place. And it says when they go and rescue her, they had to drag her away, they had to pull her out. Now that seems to be bizarre. It seems to be very strange. She's abducted and taken there against the wall. Now she doesn't want to leave. They have to pull her away from there. Why? What's going on? So Rav Yeruchim explains that in the following way. He says, so let's say, for example, a person wants to buy a new item of clothing. Somebody wants to buy a new dress. Somebody wants to buy a new suit. And enter into a store, into a shop. And the salesman in the shop says, you know, why don't you buy this dress, why don't you buy this suit? And the person says, no, you know, not for me, thank you. And the salesman says, what's your name? He says, my name is Goldberg. He says, Mr. Goldberg, I have for you something which is just right for you. I have a suit and its fabric is a non-stain, easy, clean, lightweight fabric. It's a perfect cut. Come try it on. In fact, I've been saving this suit for you. It's perfect for you. And I'm going to make a loss in the suit. I see, Mr. Goldberg, you're Jewish, and I like Jewish people. I'm going to make a loss, but I want you to have the suit. What happens? Goldberg ends up buying 3 suits. Now, how did that happen? What's going on over here? How do we describe it? He knows, Mr. Goldberg knows in his seichel, in his logic, he knows that the salesman's using a sales pitch that he uses on everybody, and that it's not this fabric is not this lightweight, non-stain, easy to clean fabric, and that he hasn't been saving the suit for him because he's never seen him before. So how could he be saving the suit for him? And he says he's not making a profit. He wants him to have. He's making 100% markup profit on him. Everybody knows that. We all know that. That's, you know, he's a salesman. He's doing his job as a salesman, but he still buys the suit. Why does he still buy the suit? Because we are all open to persuasion. We are all open to charm and to seduction. We are all convinced by these things, even though we know that they're superficial and we know that they have no real substance and value. But nonetheless, we are all vulnerable to the powers of persuasion and charm and seduction. And that's why it says, the Vayizrach lo Hashemesh, when the sun shone, Yaakov had clarity and he saw very clearly exactly what he's dealing with. He saw very clearly that, you know, this is all nonsense and it's all just a hoax. It's a fabrication. It's a, you know, it's a marketing ploy, and there's no real quality or substance over there. that the Yetzirah tries to create an excitement and an attraction, but really, in essence, there's nothing really there. It's quite superficial, and it's pretty empty what he has to offer. And you know, and that's how we all work, and that's how we live in a world where this is so strong, it's so powerful, and so enticing. You know, whether it's the clothes we wear, or whether it's the car we drive, or whether it's the food we eat, and you know, whether it's our sexual drives, we constantly are being enticed and are being tempted by these things that the world is offering us. But when we look at them, Vayizrach lo Hashemesh, we see that there's not much there. There's no real substance there. But nonetheless, we still fall for it. We still go for it. And we actually incredibly give up our Olam Haba, our next world, you know, eternity. We give up for the stuff, for this nonsense that the salesman is peddling and is offering us. So that's when, what does it do? It blinds our seichel. It approaches the lower parts of our base desires. And that pushes away our logic and our sensibility and our clarity and understanding. And that's its power that it has over us. That is the Yetzer Hara. So when it's v'yizrach lo Hashemes, when the sun shines and the doubt disappears and the blurred vision is removed and we see clearly, so then we can easily deal with the temptations of the Yetzer Hara. But it's when we're in the confusion and the darkness, and it's when it's presenting to us in such an attractive way these different offers that it has for us, so that's when we fall and stumble. And that is the struggle, that is the essence, that is the mission of every Jew in the world, is to face up to these challenges and these struggles of the Yetzer Hara, and to constantly hold on to Vayizrach lo Hashemesh, to have clarity and to see with clarity what Hashem wants of us, what life is about, what our responsibilities are, our responsibilities to God, our responsibilities to ourselves, our responsibilities to our family, and not to fall for the seduction of the Yetzer Hara. So that is our name, Yisrael. It's that fight and that struggle, and we are all, whether we like it or not, that's life. We are all involved in this struggle, and we engage in the struggle our whole life as long as we're alive. And our goal and mission is to not fall for the seduction, but to have clarity and to see the light of Hashem shining in the world, and to remain focused and loyal and dedicated to our mission as serving God and doing the mitzvahs. That's our essence and that's our job, Yisrael. Stay with us. We'll be back in a moment.
You're listening to Adventures in Jewish History with Rabbi Danny Sackstein.
We're going to close off with one more statement of the great Kli Yakar. Since we mentioned the Kli Yakar in describing what the Yetzer Hara is, that his smile, he tries to blind us from seeing things clearly and from fulfilling our spiritual mission in this world. So he says further, V'od mimash yitzarek shetedu, says the Kli Yakar, we have to understand further, She'yetzer Hara nimshal zvuv, that the Yetzer Hara is compared to a fly. Ka'asher parashti l'mal pashut breshis, so in the beginning of the Torah, the verse says that at the opening, sin crouches. Ki stam zvuv eino roivetz bebasar hashalem shebadam. A fly does not go for complete flesh. When there's no wound on the flesh, there's no flies around. Ki ein koicho bepiv lasos pesach chadash bebasar shalem. A fly doesn't have the power or the ability to penetrate the skin, to open up a wound in a person. Al ken azvuv roivetz bein hasfasaim b'makom shemoitzi pesach patuach k'tzas sham yirvatz laharchiv pesach hamaka. So the fly waits until there is an opening, until there's a wound, until there's some sort of breach. And then the fly goes for it and tries to make that wound bigger and tries to open up that wound. So says the Kli Yakar, that is the Yetzer Hara, Kein HaYetzer Hara. Eino mizdaveg el ha'adam ha'shalem asher lo paratz gidro klal. The Yetzer Hara doesn't have power and is not able to influence a person who's complete and who does not have any openings. Velo pesach lo patoch l'chatas, and does not have any openings to sin. Ve'im ha'ish ha'shalem b'chol ma'asav ein lo shum shaychus. If the person who, a complete person in all that person's ways, does not have any opening, any vulnerability, any does not make themselves susceptible to the Yetzirah, does not go after Yetzirah in any way. So then the Yetzirah doesn't have any opportunity to go for him. But when a person makes an opening themselves, when a person lets down their guard and goes after some sort of taiva, some sort of enticement, some sort of luring and seduction of the Yetzirah, so then the Yetzirah has a chance to go in full blown and tries to open the person up and tries to take a person further down that road and tries to scuttle it all and undermine and sabotage everything in the person's spiritual life as a result of that one opening and that one vulnerability. That's how the Yetzirah operates. And if we think of our lives, it's an amazing thing. If we're able to be strong and we resist the temptations of the Yetzirah, so then we in certain areas, the Yetzirah doesn't penetrate. But in those areas where we are not so strong and where we are vulnerable and susceptible to the seduction of the Yetzirah, that's where the Yetzirah really goes for us and really tries to bring us down and tries to bring the whole house crashing down. So it's an amazing insight. Just like the fly has only got strength and is only effective when there's already a wound, likewise the Yetzirah is only able to harm us when we have a vulnerability and a weakness and a predisposition to that taiva, to that drive, to that whatever that luring and seduction of the Yetzirah is. So it's very clear that we are sent to this world, all of us, in order to be engaged in this battle and struggle. And it's a real struggle, it's a real battle. And just like any battle, sometimes we on top and we successful and we give and we throw punches, and sometimes our guard is down and we receive punches and we on the defense. But as long as we engaged in this battle and we're trying to hold on to clarity and not to get fooled by the darkness and confusion of this whole world of fantasy that the Yetzirah creates, the world of fantasy, the world of image, the world of ego, the world of, you know, of externalities and superficialities, the material, superficial world. If we don't fall for that and we see with clarity that there's much more to life and that our mission is much deeper than that, that Hashem wants us to be able to resist these superficialities of our existence and to embrace the Torah, as we said earlier, to hold on to that ladder, the Torah and the mitzvahs, and to grow and to climb those rungs in the ladder and to develop self-control and to become noble human beings and to overcome the weak, empty, almost pathetic, but very powerful attempts of the Yetzirah to seduce us and to pull us away from truth and from clarity. So that's who we are, Yisrael, because we fought with this force called Esav, the Yetzirah, and that is our essence. That's what we're doing in the world. That's our mission in this world, is to fight those inner battles and struggles and to climb that ladder and ultimately to connect with God and to feel that beautiful light and connection. And when we do so, our lives are so fulfilled and are so filled with meaning and with beauty, and we feel such a sense of accomplishment and satisfaction, more than any physical pleasure can offer us in this world. So it's clear what we're supposed to be doing. As Yisrael, we're supposed to be fighting this battle. And if we do so, Hashem will help us and we'll fulfill our purpose in this world and live a life of meaning and of fulfillment and of light in this world. And of course, we will be rewarded for our efforts for eternity in Olam Haba, in the next world. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day.